I am in charge of this place, if you can believe that. You can believe it. Good, I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah, Juliana used to be my hostess, now my landlord. She has been in Europe for about 7 days, and now I, Martin Zender, am in charge of watering the lawn in the evening. I'm in charge of taking the garbage out. In fact, just this morning, I took out the regular garbage and the recyclable bin, drag them out to the street. I've been sweeping the floors around here, which is pretty cool. I'm in charge of feeding Holly food and water, and changing her little pee pads out front. That's a good time. And it's so weird because I just showed up here in January, and now I'm running the joint, you know? So people depend on me here, and I love that. I love the responsibility. It's a sub-responsibility without having the ultimate responsibility. I'm not the homeowner. I don't like being a homeowner. I like traveling through life light, as you know. But it's just, to me, interesting how things change. I came here as a guest in January. Now I'm taking out the garbage, sweeping the floors, feeding the dog, and watering the lawn. So thank you, God, for the responsibility of this place. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know our common friend, James Flanders, and he has been in prison for a year, up in the panhandle of Florida here. He has confessed to a very serious crime, and I've been talking with him on the phone. I'm going to tell you how you can reach this man. I'm telling you, he has been in a maximum security prison, which to me is nightmarish. He's been there for a year. I don't know how he has survived, except God is how he has survived. This man is a member of the body of Christ. And I talked to him on the phone. He could only talk to me in 15-minute increments. I talked to him yesterday, but then 4 days ago, we had four of these 15-minute segments. I asked him, James, how are you doing? Tell me about your daily life. Tell me how you're getting by. Tell me of your routine. And I tried to keep my composure as he told me about his routine, about the conditions in which he lives. In between the first session and the second, there was a gap. He had to call me back. I had about 3 minutes, and I wept. I cried for his conditions he's living in. I composed myself by the second call because I wanted to be strong for him. I didn't need to be, but he was strong. His voice was sure and alive and vibrant, which to me was stunning. The man has not been in the sunlight for 1 year. He gets out of his cell for 2 hours a week. He eats, craps, sleeps, showers, bathes in his cell with three other people 24/7. His food is passed to him through a door. This, to me, I'm pretty sure that the detainees at Guantanamo Bay have more liberties than James Flanders. He has not seen his family in a year, and I ask you to pray for this man, and I ask you, I will provide for you information on how to video conference him. I haven't done that yet. All he wants to do is talk about God. He cannot even have the Concordant Literal New Testament. He's reading from a New King James Bible. It's unbelievable. I think the detainees at Guantanamo can have their own versions of the Quran, but James Flanders can't. And yet he's thankful. This is what he told me yesterday. I want to share this with you. I told him I was going to do this. He didn't ask me to do this, but I told him I was going to share this with you. He says, I've never been more thankful my entire life than I have been, thankful to God for the little things since I've been here. He says, I realize now how much I took for granted. When he talks to his wife on the phone, she shows him the sunrise on her smartphone. It's the only way he can see the sunrise. Even when he leaves his cell, he doesn't go outside. He goes into a room where he has at least a window. But there are bars and dirty glass on the window. This place where he is, I'm sorry, it's disgusting. And they put such a nice face on some of these prisons. But my God, I just can't believe it. He says that I'm thankful that I have a place to go to the bathroom. I'm thankful that the toilet flushes. Three other people in the cell, and they all go, hey, the toilet flushes. Aren't we fortunate? Aren't we lucky? They can see a window from across the hallway. They can see a window. Of course, the window doesn't let any sunlight into them, but they can see a window, and for that, they're thankful. He's thankful he has clothing. He has clothing. He doesn't have to sit naked in his cell. He's thankful for that. He told me this yesterday. Many people have forsaken him. Many people have just completely turned their backs on him, as though any of us are what we are, except by the grace of God. By a miracle, this man has kept his faith. He is extremely remorseful for events in his life that transpired, seemed to him, transpire beyond his control. Now he has things to confront, of course, and he's very remorseful. But he wakes up in the morning with his hands raised in the air to God. God, grant me new understanding. Grant me a new day. And he is, again, he survives literally by the grace of God in a way that you and I cannot even imagine. And I wrote these things down. He says, I'm thankful that I can make phone calls. I'm thankful, Martin, that I can talk to you about things of God. Because who cares about things of God? He is embracing, as never before, the snatching away of the body of Christ. That's his expectation, and it's ours too. But we go along our day, and you know, sometimes we say, okay, if Christ comes today, fine. If he doesn't come till tomorrow, that's fine too, because I have this nice meal planned with my friends, or I'm gathering with my family, or my favorite TV show is on tonight. The man can't get on the internet. He's been stripped of that. He doesn't have a phone. They wheel a phone to him. And if he's lucky, he can snag it. The conditions are just unimaginable to me. To me, it's a nightmare, and I'm sure it is to him. But he has learned to cope and deal with it, and he knows God is with him, and I know God is with him. Great truths have come from this man. Have you ever been to his website? James Flanders, have you been to his website? Amazing truths. His wife is with him. She is spiritually united with him and going with him through this trial, even though he has not physically seen her or touched her in over a year. Hasn't even seen the sunshine. Hasn't even felt the warmth of the sun. He says his skin looks pale. He says he looks in a mirror. He's appalled. He looks like a corpse. He looks like a cadaver. These are his words. Please keep this man in your prayers. What else is he thankful for? I wrote these things down. The shower, to see a window, that he has fellow inmates. These aren't the most sterling characters that he is incarcerated with. And yet they find odd fellowship. They have to. They're confined together. He doesn't even go outside his cell to eat. Do you understand that? They're passing him food through a trap door. The New King James Bible, he is thankful for that. He has read it over and over and over again, especially Paul's letters. And the snatching away to see Christ, to meet him in the air, with us, with me, with you, with his wife. This is his lifeline to sanity. And the only reason it's not ours every day is because we have these other blessings. And I'm not saying these things are corrupting us. I told you yesterday that Israel's corrupted. So we're not corrupted. I'm not taking it to that level. But I am saying that we take many things for granted. I got off the phone with James, and I'm like, I look out the window, and I cry because I can go into this house. I can sweep the floor here. I can take the garbage out. Things that may seem mundane and distasteful to me, suddenly, thank God that I can walk in the sunshine, that I can run. He says he exercises. He goes 7 paces this way, 7 paces that way. I said, how? He says, I go for walks. I said, how in the world do you go for walks? Well, I walk 7 paces, and then I turn around and walk another 7 paces, and I turn around to the next wall, to the next set of bars, and I turn around again, 7 paces. He'll do that for an hour, and he might get a mile in. Ah! I'm telling you, I wept, and yet, in his voice, I hear the life of God, the love of Christ that is sustaining him. It's amazing. It's done amazing things for my faith. This man needs to talk about God. He apologizes to me. He says, Martin, I'm sorry we have a 15-minute call. You're paying for it. I think it's maybe $5 that I pay 15 minutes. Fine. Hey, guess what? I can do without a meal at Chipotle in order to talk to James Flanders. He says, I'm sorry I've been gabbing the whole time, but he's a font. He's a fountain of wanting to discuss God because he has no fellowship. I'm going to tomorrow or the next day tell you how you can contact him. And I think a video chat would be nice. You have to schedule it, but I'll figure that out for you, okay? All right. So our blessings, in a way, they corrupt us in small ways, in that maybe it's not real convenient for us today for Jesus Christ to return, but if we put ourselves in the place of James Flanders for a day, for a minute even. I put myself in his place for 15 minutes during a phone call, and I was devastated. And I'm not there. I was devastated. And if my life happens to be going well now, what about his? So now I am even more anxious for the snatching away of the body of Christ. I'm more anxious to be taken from this wicked, unfair, malign eon for his sake. Screw my sake. I want him to be reunited with his wife. I want him to be reunited with his daughter, with his family, with his friends, with you, with me, with Jesus Christ. And so for that reason, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It may not be convenient for me today because I have a wonderful social event planned for this evening. Oh boy. Yeah. Ah. So self-centered am I? You, all of us. And when you talk to someone like James, who has had everything taken from him because of a moment of something that he now regrets with every fiber of his being, but that cannot be changed. And how many times have I told you that we cannot get out of this call? I just said to you yesterday, or maybe last week, that since we were called and chosen in Christ from before the disruption of the world, before sin entered the universe, then sin cannot take away what we are and what we have in Christ. And it's just a matter of degree, isn't it? It's a matter of degree. We all break the law. When you go 65 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone, you're breaking the law. We all do stupid things. We look at our cell phones for a second to check something. See who just called us. You might not be texting while you're driving, but you just look down for a second. And you take your eye off the road and you could kill someone, couldn't you? It's horrifying, the pitfalls in this life for just not paying attention and for purposely doing wrong things. And we all purposely do wrong things. We know it's wrong to say this to that person, but we say it anyway. And in a small way, we destroy that person by our words. We all do it. There but for the grace of God. So I want you to appreciate today what you have. I want you to appreciate the fact that you can see your loved ones, you can talk to your friends, the fact that you can take out the garbage, the fact that you can drive your car to work for another day, to a job that you hate. But maybe it's not so bad. Or your groceries are so expensive, but you can go to a grocery store. Unbelievable blessings we have. Countless blessings. And we forget. Let's remember.